No one likes a hypocrite. In most cases, unless it's them being the hypocrite. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 70. This is the podcast where we are reading through the Bible in just 1 year. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Welcome. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad you're here as well. If you'd like to contact me, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Today we're going to read 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. If you'd like to know what Bible translations I'm using today, that info is at bible.lifespringmedia.com. Look for episode number 70. This is a listener-supported show. If you'd like to help me cover the costs of doing this show, please go to bible.lifespringmedia.com/support and see how you can do that. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Let's get started. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It is actually reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, so that the one who had done this deed would be removed from your midst. For I, on my part, though absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this as though I were present. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven, so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with a leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If any of you have a dispute with another Christian, how dare you go before heathen judges instead of letting God's people settle the matter? Don't you know that God's people will judge the world? Well then, if you are to judge the world, aren't you capable of judging small matters? Do you not know that we shall judge the angels? How much more then the things of this life? If such matters come up, are you going to take them to be settled by people who have no standing in the church? Shame on you! Surely there is at least one wise person in your fellowship who can settle a dispute between fellow Christians. Instead, one Christian goes to court against another and lets unbelievers judge the case. The very fact that you have legal disputes among yourselves shows that you have failed completely. Would it not be better for you to be wronged? Would it not be better for you to be robbed? Instead, you yourselves wrong one another and rob one another, even other believers. Surely you know that the wicked will not possess God's kingdom. Do not fool yourselves. People who are immoral or who worship idols or are adulterers or homosexual perverts, or who steal, or are greedy, or are drunkards, or who slander others, or are thieves, none of these will possess God's kingdom. Some of you were like that, but you have been purified from sin. You have been dedicated to God. You have been put right with God by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Someone will say, "I am allowed to do anything." Yes, but not everything is good for you. I could say that I am allowed to do anything, but I am not going to let anything make me its slave. Someone else will say, "Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food." Yes, but God will put an end to both. The body is not to be used for sexual immorality, but to serve the Lord, and the Lord provides for the body. God raised the Lord from death, and he will also raise us by his power. You know that your bodies are parts of the body of Christ. Shall I take a part of Christ's body and make it part of the body of a prostitute? Impossible. Or perhaps you don't know that a man who joins his body to a prostitute becomes physically one with her. The Scripture says quite plainly, the two will become one body. But he who joins himself to the Lord becomes spiritually one with him. Avoid immorality. Any other sin a man commits does not affect his body, but the man who is guilty of sexual immorality sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and who was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourselves, but to God. He bought you for a price, so use your bodies for God's glory.
You've heard it before. Someone's doing something that is patently wrong, and when they're called on it, they drag out the old, "Judge not that you be not judged" line. Or someone fails to take a stand on an immoral issue or person because they think it's not up to them to judge. Well, after hearing from Paul today, what do you think? Sounds pretty clear to me that Paul encouraged the people of the church at Corinth to get the sinning person out of their fellowship. I think that would be classified as judging. So then, what did Jesus mean when he told us not to judge? As is usually the case, it is helpful to look at the context. There's a scripture found in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5 that says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." So really, what Jesus was talking about was hypocrisy, wasn't it? Not judgment. As you know, he wasn't very keen on hypocrites. That's something that even non-religious people have in common with our Lord. No one likes a hypocrite. In most cases, unless it's them being the hypocrite. But that's for a completely different forum than this. But for believers, to look at evil and call it evil is something that we are called to do in Scripture. To call someone on their sin is right if it is done with love and we have a goal to restore them to right living and fellowship. We want to bring them to repentance. James 5:20 says, "Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." So here's the bottom line. Keep your account with God clear. As much as is humanly possible, live your life in such a way that you will not be in danger of hypocrisy when you are called to confront sin. How else can we be salt and light in a lost and dying world? What do you think? Agree? Disagree? Have another perspective? Share it with me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow we'll be reading from the Law, Genesis 40 through 43. If you find value in this podcast, please go over to lifespringmedia.com/support. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.